How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 225 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head out to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder, subscribe to the podcast there, and you can leave a review. You can give us 5 stars. The reviews help too, so if you have something nice to say about the show, it's always nice if you type one in there. You can find us on audioboom.com as well, and log on to normantranscript.com. You can check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site there. And you can just see all my Thunder coverage up on there, normantranscript.com/sports/Thunder Road. You can find my stuff on Twitter, too, at Fred Katz, if that's easier for you, if you're more of a social media person. I'm on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. That might change next week. I'll let you know for sure on either Wednesday or the Friday podcast, or maybe both of them later this week. But for now, we got the Monday episode, and joining me to talk some fantasy, Game of Thrones came back on Sunday, so we got to talk fantasy, different kind of fantasy, with Locked On Fantasy Basketball host Josh Lloyd. Josh, this is the first time we've podcasted while both in the same country.
It is indeed. I'm not quite in Oklahoma City, but I am at least in the same country and same, or close to the same time zone as you.
Yeah, we're a couple of time zones apart, but you know. That's better than like legitimately halfway around the world.
I just get it's no night and day type difference that we're currently, or that we were experiencing on our other podcast.
Yeah, exactly. It was always tough to schedule. Now it's nice. We can. It's not too late for you. It's not too late for me. We're all right. So one thing that I really wanted to talk about, which I think is interesting. A lot of people play fantasy sports. A lot of people play fantasy basketball. I actually am not a huge fantasy basketball player, but I happen to follow the sport, so I think I'll be able to follow along here. And something that I am curious about, and I think a lot of people are going to be curious about, is the Thunder made a lot of offseason moves. Russell Westbrook was obviously a fantasy king last year with the numbers, the counting numbers that he was able to put up throughout last season. And, you know, the addition of Paul George, some other guys who they're bringing in could have some impact on that. And I guess the first thing that I'm wondering is your perspective on Russell Westbrook broke a usage rate record last year. I mean, he had a 42% usage rate, which is the highest in the history of usage rate, which goes all the way back to the NBA-ABA merger back in the mid-1970s. So we're talking about something that stands for like 40 years. And because of that, he's just able to handle the ball so much and rack up assists and hunt for rebounds on top of all of that, and obviously score a lot of points and take a lot of shots. The existence of Paul George in Oklahoma City now, how much do you think that changes Russell Westbrook's just counting numbers next year?
I think it has to change. I don't think it can possibly stay the same. Now, it's not like we're just adding Paul George to the existing Thunder roster from last season. We are taking away Victor Oladipo's usage rate, which was substantial in itself. Yes, Domantas Sabonis, not quite as much. But yeah, we're adding George and subtracting Oladipo. But that difference is still significant. So it's still significantly more in George's favor, but it's not just the straight swap of players. I think it might be even more a change in Westbrook's mentality. He went out and proved that he could average a triple-double. He went out and proved that he could carry a team single-handedly. And now he's got another player who is acknowledged as a superstar-type player, a Team USA-level player, an All-NBA-level player, and he's going to want to work more together with a guy like Paul George. So I don't think we'll see him breaking his own usage rate record. I think we'll see him maybe not going exactly back to the same rust that we saw when he played with Kevin Durant, but I think a different version to what we saw last season.
You know, it's not just the numbers either. Like you talk about, Oladipo had a above average usage rate last year because someone's got it. I mean, somebody else in that starting lineup had to do it, and it was Oladipo. But Paul George is going to command the ball in his hands even if, let's say, he has the exact same usage rate as Victor Oladipo did last year, which I don't think will be the case, but let's just say that he does, Paul George is going to command the ball more than Victor Oladipo did. He's going to average more dribbles per touch than Victor Oladipo did, even though he's really good off the ball. I imagine they're going to try to run him off screens, run him off pin downs, something they tried to do early in the year with Oladipo and something that Westbrook just kind of shunned in like his let me just do whatever the heck I want kind of year. Now, I imagine they're going to try to do the same thing with Paul George because George is really good off the ball. He's really willing off the ball. He's great running off screens. He's great getting himself open. And that's part of why I think he's a good fit next to Russ. But at the same time, like, he's a really good pick and roll ball handler, and you're going to want him, you know, running pick and roll every once in a while. And Victor Oladipo just kind of very willingly went to the, by halfway into the year, Oladipo just kind of willingly went to the weak side corner. It was just like, okay, I'm going to let Russ do stuff. And when the ball comes to me, I'll be able to shoot it. And that's kind of all it's going to be. Paul George, they're not going to use him like that. It's a failure of the offensive system if they use him like that. And they can't use him like that. And I imagine they absolutely will not use him like that. So just those extra dribbles that he's going to take away, you have to imagine will have some sort of impact on Westbrook, whether it's because of shot attempts or assists or whatever it is, right?
I think that has to be the case. And the other thing we've got to remember as well, Fred, is that OKC wants to convince Paul George to stick around. Like, they want him to be here next season. So they're not going to come in and freeze him out and just say, well, you can just go stand in the corner, never handle the ball, and Russ is just going to do everything, because Paul George is going to say, well, what am I hanging around for this for? Like, that's not something he wants to be involved in. We saw it with Oladipo last year. I'm not sure how much the correlation is, but with his sort of minimalization of his role on offense, it really impacted his defensive numbers. Like, his block numbers and his steal numbers dropped right down, and he lost a lot of confidence. His free throw rate was like 7-8% less than what it had been the season before, and that's just not going to happen with Paul George for numerous different reasons. So that is going to impact a lot of the things that Russell Westbrook did last season. And the other thing we've got to remember is that, you know, Russ, God, he averaged a triple-double. We know that, and that means he averaged 10 rebounds per game. Paul George is a very good rebounder. He's always been an above-average rebounder for his position, so he's not going to be pulling down the same amount of rebounds that what Oladipo was. So that's another part that is going to take a little bit away from that, from what Westbrook did. Westbrook's efficiency may rise because he's not taking that extraordinary amount of shots that he did last season, and he's going to have another star-level player to rely on. So you might see an increase in his field goal percentage, and maybe, you know, an increase. He might even hit more threes if he's able to play a little bit more off the ball than what he did last season, and play a little bit more spot up when Paul George does have those moments with the ball in his hand. So there is definitely going to be a change. I don't think that anyone could debate that there won't be.
Russ is still going to put up huge numbers. I think we probably both agree on
that. Oh, yeah, no doubt.
I mean, he'll put up huge numbers. Yeah, no doubt. He was putting up huge numbers with Kevin Durant. I mean, that last year with Durant, he still averaged like 24, 10, and 8. I mean, he was putting up absolutely ridiculous numbers with, you know, a top five player next to him. He's certainly going to do it with, you know, barring anything crazy or unforeseen that happens, he's certainly going to end up doing it with Paul George next to him. There should be no doubt in anybody's mind about that. Just triple-double is, you know, I said before last year that triple-double, there was just no chance. It was totally out of hand. And then he did it. So What do we know? But but I just exactly. Can't imagine anything close to that is going to happen. I also wonder what's going to happen to Paul George. He's been the number one guy, his offensive guy, like his entire, since becoming the number one offensive guy with Indiana, he has always been the number one. Does that make sense? Did I phrase that correctly? Does that make sense at all?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, since the Danny Granger knee-related implosions, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So since becoming the number one option in Indiana, he's never gone back to being a number two offensive option. And now he's going to be a number two offensive option. And number two offensive options can put up massive numbers. We see it all over the league. You know, whether Curry is the number two offensive option or Durant is the number two offensive option, they do it. You know, you saw it in L.A. with Blake and CP. You see it in Minnesota. You see in Portland, you know, with McCollum, there's just lots of guys who can put up
Kyrie Irving, LeBron James.
Oh yeah, Kyrie. I forgot about that guy, LeBron. He's pretty good too. And you got Kyrie putting up awesome offense. I mean, Kevin Love is a third option. He's still put up great numbers this past year. I mean, you can certainly get great numbers from a number two option. It doesn't hurt you in some places. Some cases it helps you, because if you're good enough to be a number one and you're actually a number two, it can really help with your efficiency. I mean, we see that all over the place. Guys go and maybe they average a point or two less, but their efficiency is through the roof. I wonder what's going to happen with Paul George, because he's going to go back, and I think he's going to be great no matter what, because he's a great player. So he'll be great. So we're talking about degrees of greatness, not great versus good versus average versus below average versus bad. We're talking about degrees of greatness or very goodness. And I wonder what he's going to be like stylistically, if he can find his comfort. And if he's going to be, like, from a fantasy perspective, if he's going to be as great as he was in Indiana from the start, because there's going to have to be some sort of kind of feeling out period, right?
And it's nearly always the case. When someone joins another team, there's always some sort of weirdness happening somewhere. Like, for as well as things went for the Warriors last year, Steph Curry struggled for the first, you know, 2 months of the season. Maybe he didn't struggle, but he wasn't anywhere near himself. This happens. So you can write in your backyard, like Oladipo just did not fit at all. Like, he just, the change just didn't work for him. Like, things just didn't click as well as what, you know, he didn't play anywhere near as well as what he did coming off his last season in Orlando. That sort of stuff happens all the time, and it's a pretty common. It's very rare that a player comes to a new team and everything remains the same, and then what they did before just continues happening as it was. It just doesn't go that way. But you know, I would expect Paul George's numbers to take somewhat of a dip. But as you said, efficiency often rises in this situation. So he was a guy that through the middle months of the season was absolutely brutal in his efficiency. His field goal percentage was atrocious. Now, he finished the season really strong. Like, his February, March, April were really, really strong, which has been sort of the opposite of what Paul George's career has been. He's nearly always been a guy that has hot Novembers, and then every month after that gets worse. But last year, he sort of bucked that trend and really got hot and found himself as like a top 10 fantasy guy over the last, or after the All-Star break last season, which is very much, it goes against the grain of what he's done in his career. But I would expect that efficiency to stay up. I think his assist numbers might not be as high as what they were. Not that they were ever sky high, but they were okay. But it might also give him an extra ability to concentrate a bit more on the defensive end. Maybe he gets his steal numbers up because he's not shouldering as big of a load offensively. So that might be something that helps him. Plus, he's going to be surrounded by other, you know, really good defenders in Robinson, in Steve Adams as well, who can provide some backup for him to maybe gamble a little bit on getting those steals. So I wouldn't be surprised if his steal numbers increase and his efficiency increases also.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point you make about him playing with other good defensive players. And Patterson is a really smart help defender as well. Jeremy Grant has, you know, length and athleticism, and his discipline is not there yet. His you know, pick and roll discipline is not there yet. His help discipline is not there yet. Billy Donovan believes it's going to be there. Jeremy Grant's a smart guy. Understands the game well, and he's only 23 years old. And Billy Donovan's a big fan of Jeremy Grant. And I think with him playing on the back line, at least the Thunder believe that he's going to be someone who's going to be able to make a defensive difference because he's so long and he's so athletic. And I think they think that he can turn himself into a rim protector if he starts to develop with everything right. And he was better at the end of the year than he was at the start of the year. So it's a justifiable opinion that they think he's going to be a difference-making defensive player considering his physical skill set. And the Thunder have a lot of those guys. And just to even add on to your point of, like, the possibility of his steals, of his steal numbers going up, like, he's also, in Indiana, he often, especially for big games, that kind of stuff, he often had to guard the opposing team's best wing player. And that's probably not going to be the case. He's going to get to rest a lot more because that's the luxury of starting Andre Roberson at the two next to him. And Roberson this past year was showed off such incredible versatility, being able to guard ones, twos, threes, even some fours, maybe not like LaMarcus Aldridge fours, but like Danilo Gallinari fours. And because of that, like, you can rest Paul George defensively a little bit more, not necessarily hide him, but stick him on another. And he's a tremendous defensive player, but Roberson's just this good that this is what you use him for. And you're able to have Paul George concentrate more on offense, which could have a direct effect on his efficiency. It could also have a direct effect on his steal numbers, because for the most part, steals aren't necessarily coming because you poke the ball away from a ball handler. They're coming off deflections, they're coming off passes, And if you're guarding a worse guy, and maybe you're guarding a guy who can't shoot, you're maybe able to venture a couple feet to your left or right, which you wouldn't have been able to do if you're guarding the LeBrons or the, you know, whomever, the Durants of the world, which I don't think he's really going to have to do nearly as much as he did in Indiana, even though a lot of those Indiana teams when Vogel was there had some great defenses.
The other thing that if he's not guarding the best wing defender, like say he's not guarding the best offensive player on the other team, like if you're guarding that best player that Robertson will be doing, that's the player who has the ball in their hands, so that's the player who's throwing the passes. If he's not guarding that guy, then he's more likely to be able to get and cut those passes off rather than be right up on that guy, so more able to read what that guy's doing rather than having to be right up in his face and actually execute those turnovers in a different way without putting that pressure on right in his face, being able to sit back a little bit, sag off on a less talented offensive player and make those double teams, make those cuts and make those gambles. And I think that'll help in that area as well.
Yeah, it's going to be real interesting to see. Like there's so many good players switching teams this year, like with Millsap going elsewhere, exactly. Hayward going elsewhere, Chris Paul going elsewhere, Paul George going elsewhere. Like it's going to be really interesting to see. Who did I forget?
Jimmy Butler.
Oh yeah, Jimmy Butler too, man. It's gonna be really interesting to see, and I'm sure you won't be able to find any sort of trend out of it. It's probably just gonna be random to a degree and based on individual circumstances. But it's gonna be really interesting to see because one or two of those guys is one or two or three of those guys, I guess, is going to get off to a really hot start, and it's just gonna click from the beginning. And the rest of them are going to struggle from the beginning. And probably every single one of them will find it because they're great players. And great players tend to find it. But it's going to be really interesting to follow which ones of those guys kind of struggle at first. And the team struggles at first because of it, relatively, of course. And which ones of them just kind of get off to it. Like, I feel like Jimmy Butler is going to be the kind of dude who's just going to be fine right away. Like, he's going to be Jimmy Butler from the very beginning, because I feel like he's walking into that room and like he is the alpha dog now. There's no one's going to challenge that. That team is going to play the way Jimmy Butler wants to play. And plus, Tibbs knows how to use him and there's familiarity there already. Like I could see Paul George, even though he notoriously gets off to just super hot starts in November every year, I could see him getting off to a slow start. I could see Chris Paul and James Harden, although I think they'll end up working it out. Like I could see the two of them kind of figuring out and having to feel out the way they are next to each other,
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, when we're talking about fantasy, we're talking about all these guys that are like first or second round draft picks that are going to be affected. And we just don't know how any of it's going to work at this point. You talk about Chris Paul and Harden. Well, both of those guys are probably going to take a little bit of a hit. There's Westbrook and Paul George. There's Karl Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler. There's DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis. There's Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. So all these guys in the first 15, 16 guys, they're spread amongst 9 teams, 10 teams maybe, and there's a lot of these new situations. And then you've got the other end of the back end of, say, the second round, where a Blake Griffin might have started play rank 30. Now he moves into a spot where does he move? Does he move into a top 20? Because he is going to, could he be a guy that starts throwing the ball around and getting 7 assists a game because he's running things on that team? So all that area, especially like where Paul George is going to go in drafts, there's just so much. It's all in flux. Like we just don't know where any of this stuff is going to go. And it's going to be really interesting to see how everything plays out with this sort of group of players. It's not the absolute cream of the crop, but it's the next level down, the superstar level down.
I'm really excited to see Blake. I'm genuinely excited. I feel like we're going to get fun Blake again. The last couple of years, we weren't really getting fun Blake. It wasn't really happening. I feel like it's going to happen. And I feel like it's going to be fun Blake shooting threes. He's going to get to run his own team, and he might miss the beginning of the season now, but he's going to get to run his own team. He's as good of a pass. Him and Draymond Green and like Nikola Jokic are probably the three best passing big men in the NBA. And I think you can easily run an offense through him. I feel like people are more down on him than I am. I am more up on him probably than any other like top 25, like he's recognized as a top 25 player still. And if anybody who's recognized as a top 25 player, I'm probably higher on him relative to conventional discussion than I am compared to anybody else. Like, I think you can have a top of the line offense running through Blake Griffin, even though his athleticism is objectively down right now. He's such a good passer. And the dude can shoot now, and he's going to be making threes next year, and people are going to be like, what? After the season he had this year, that closed the season? When he shot, like, in the high 30s over the last 30 games, and, like, three threes a game or something like that. Like, he's going to be fun to watch this year. I've convinced myself of that. Although, you know, I'm wrong about, like, 60% of the things I say. But I've convinced myself of that.
No, I'm with you. I think we're going to see real fun Blake Griffin this year with the passing, with him taking over that mantle as the number one guy there, and just the other players that have surrounded him as well. Now with Gallinari, Teodosic, but these are guys that are fun also. Like Gallinari's a fun offensive player. Teodosic is just wild. Like it's just going to be really interesting to see Blake running an offense with just such different, faster moving parts. So yeah, I'm really excited for him as well.
Yeah, I mean that will certainly be fun. Do you think Patterson was never a counting numbers guy anyway. That was never him. Do you think that he gains any value being part of that offense? You know, maybe making some extra threes. You know, probably he has a good chance to hit like triple digit threes. Is there any value to him, or is he just the same guy?
Do you mean Beverly or Patrick Patterson in Oklahoma City?
Yeah. I was transitioning back to OKC.
I didn't get the transition for it. Sorry, man. I'm not in the podcast.
There was no transition. Said it.
Look, Patterson's had the minutes before. Like, he's never been a 35-plus guy. He's not going to be that with the Thunder, I don't think. But even when he was getting 29, 30 minutes a night, he was just so low usage. And it provides good defense, but doesn't provide good defensive stats. And yeah, he's going to just basically be Sabonis with more minutes in terms of fantasy output, I think. He's a guy that gives the impression of being this, you know, three-point shooter, but the percentages aren't always there. The defensive numbers aren't always there. He's just a very low usage, really useful, very good player that does pretty much nothing for fantasy.
So one guy who I think is going to be not necessarily not a fantasy stud, not that, but better than he was last year. I think we're going to see like real stuff from Steven Adams. Number one, I don't know if Russell Westbrook is going to steal as many rebounds from him, because I think the hunting for rebounds thing is going to be down this year. He averages triple double. He doesn't need to prove it to anybody. It seems like a habit that's pretty easy to break. Although maybe it's just in Russ's, maybe he's just kind of embedded it into his personality now and there's no going back. But it seems like a habit that's pretty easy to break from year to year. So right there, that's an extra however many boards you want to add to him, because he's not conceding those rebounds to Russell Westbrook. And there's going to be so much more space. I mean, the Thunder were last in three-point shooting. And everyone talked about, where is Adams? Why does Adams go absent offensively when the lob isn't there? That's not on Steven Adams. That's on the fact that the Thunder always had a guy in the weak corner who people had no problem helping off of in the pick and roll. So they would drag over to Adams, they would pull over to Adams, and they would take away that lob, and it wasn't there. And Westbrook ended up putting up those mid-range shots, and that's just kind of the way that their offense kind of worked when they were shooting 32% from three on the season. This year they got more shooters. They're going to play McDermott more. They're going to have him for the whole year. They're going to play Abrines more. They've got Paul George in there. Patterson is a capable shooter who gets respect and from defenses even when he's in his slumps and is able to space the floor. Same thing goes for Paul George. So I think that lob is going to be open a lot more for Adams, and I think we're going to see his scoring go up more too, along with just some natural progression. Like I always say this, people forget that he's only 23 years old. 23-year-olds who have great work ethics like Steven Adams does, and he really has a phenomenal work ethic, like those guys tend to improve. Like talented 23-year-olds who work hard usually improve. And improvement is not always linear. Like he was stagnant from 2 years ago to last year. I think everybody realizes that, but I don't think just because he was stagnant from 1 year to the next means that he's going to be like that forever. I really don't believe that at all. And I think this year could be a year where his counting numbers, his points, his rebounds end up going up more. And we've seen sometimes he always plays hard, but sometimes his defense goes down a little bit when he doesn't get touches. And if he's getting more touches, maybe the block numbers go up too. So I think he's a guy who you could see those numbers end up going up this year, which is something people expected last year, and I think it's something that could happen this year.
I'm not quite as bullish on Stephen Adams as what you are, and a lot of that's to do with his block numbers. Look, he has the occasional game where he goes and has three, four blocks, and you look at you, okay, well, there's something happening here, but it never seems to sustain. And he's a guy that's around here, one block a game, don't have a huge impact on his fantasy, though. He needs to be a 1.7, 1.8, 1.9 type of block guy to really, you know, take a 30, 40 spot leap forward in the rankings. And I just don't think that he's going to be able to do that. Now, I do think that, well, I do agree with you that his rebounding numbers will probably go up this year. I'm just not so sure about the scoring, because while Russ won't have that same usage rate, I believe the extra shots will probably more likely go towards George and they will go towards Adams. But he, again, the improvement part, or the natural age-related progression, is something that could start to improve his game. So we could say that. I'm just, blocks tend to be the stat that will start higher and then start to decrease as a player gets older, gets a little bit more disciplined.
That's a good point on the blocks, for sure. He's always been more of a potential rim protector, you know, just kind of an alterer and distractor than he's been a guy who's going to get his hands on a lot of balls and that kind of stuff. I do think, I actually do think the points are going to go up, though. Even though the shots are going to, a lot of shots are going to be handed to Paul George, and a good amount of those are going to go over. I think there's going to be shot distribution. It's just going to allow more dunks, more just kind of open, wide open, easy looks for Adams, which is going to bring it up to, could bring him up to 13, 14 a game to go with close to, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if he started to approach 10 boards or something like that. And I think that's a more quality, from a fantasy perspective, more quality fantasy impact than he was this past year. Before we wrap up, you know, you want to tell people about you know, Locked On Fantasy Basketball and everything else we got going on?
Yeah, at the moment we're in a sort of a dead period, I guess, for fantasy basketball. So that, and because I'm currently on vacation, I'm only doing one show a week for this week, and I'll be back home next week. So probably back in a more regular schedule then. But you know, we cover all sorts of fantasy, season long fantasy, dynasty league fantasy, daily fantasy as well, throughout the season, and have a whole bunch of stuff in the preseason, preview stuff, draft help, all that sort of stuff. So it'd be a great time to start subscribing and listening to the show over the coming months.
What's your Twitter handle again?
It is at redrock_bball.
Perfect. And you can remember I'm on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, at least for this week. Head on to iTunes, subscribe to Locked On Thunder there. Leave a review, give it 5 stars, do all that stuff. If you have questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com or find me on Twitter at FredKatz, FredKatz. And log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. Check out Thunder Road to follow team coverage. You can see what's next for the team there and for free agency and all that kind of stuff. I have a couple features up there now on some Oklahoma guys with Oklahoma ties who are playing summer league, Buddy Hield, Juwan Evans. You can check those out there too. And you can also see those on my Twitter where I tweeted that out. That is going to do it for today. Back Wednesday. Wednesday should be a special episode. I don't like promising my guests, so I'm not going to do it now. But I am having on, I plan to have on one of the more popular guests in this show's history. So I'll leave it at that. Josh, thanks for coming on, man.
No worries, Fred. Good to speak to you again.
Well, until Wednesday, Locked On Thunder is locking up.